saying to them, do I not know you, my sons, my daughters? Do I not perceive your thoughts from afar? Am I not familiar with all your ways? Do I know what you're thinking even before you think it? And I say to you today, just lay down anything that would hinder or distract you coming into my presence. Nothing escapes me. I love you. And I want you to come into that deeper measure of my love. I want you to come into that place, that inner place that you can't be robbed of the love and the refreshment and the joy that I want to bring to your life today. Are you prepared to let go? Are you prepared to let go? Just lay it down. Come before me and lay it down. Lay down anything that will distract. Do I not know your struggles? Do I not know your pain? Do I not know your disappointment? Do I not know your frustrations? I ask you to lay them down before me. For I want you to just revel in my love as I revel in yours.
Yes. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. Each one of you. Okay? When you get that in there, you don't need me to say it from here.
That's right.
God loves you with an everlasting love. And it's interesting that Chris spoke about Emma. I had a dream last night. God showed me that there's somebody here having really bad nightmares, and that he's going to replace those nightmares with dreams from him. So if there's anybody else here that's having nightmares, you know where they're coming from, because it's not God. God wants to replace those nightmares with dreams from him. And I believe from today, this moment onwards, he will do that for you. So, I bless you with that. Each one of you, as you have that experience, I pray for that new experience of dreams and visions to be released from God today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
How many of you know God closes doors?
Does, yeah.
And when he closes them in firmly. And my piece of wisdom to you today, take your finger away from the door. Don't try and open that door, because it's not for you to be opening it. God will close it, and he will close it firmly. At the same time, he will open the ones that you need opened. Without your help. Alright? Whoever that's for, just receive that now in the spirit, because it's an important message for each one of us. We try and do things in our own strength. And I believe that our experiences, God speaks to us. And, okay, I shut my finger in the physical door, and God was speaking to me about that. You know, it's not for me to open those doors. Okay? When they're shut, that's it. No going back. Just forward to in through the doors that God has opened for you. I've got a few other things that I want to share, if that's okay. Sorry, I didn't know you. Carla.
Carly,
I believe that God has said to me that you need to be yourself. Don't be afraid about being yourself, because he loves you. He absolutely adores who you are. There's certain things that he may want to change along the way, but those are things that have gathered momentum in your life without him. And there's a new chapter for you now, where you can be yourself the way He made you, right as a seed in the mother's womb. And from then, even before then, He knew what you were going to be like. So don't change who you really are. Okay? Because He loves you. So I bless her with that word, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, that it would show her the real person. The real person, who she really is in you, Lord. And Father, I pray from this day forward that she would be an influence to others because of who she is. An influence in a right way. Because of who she is really underneath. Who she really is in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sit down. Dan. Dan, can I hold your hand, Dan? Dan, I believe there's been two tracks you could have taken in your life. You took the long way round, mate. Alright? And God's going to make up time. All that distance that you travelled the wrong way, down the wrong track, He's going to make up time on the right track for you. And as you go on that track, you're going to actually find out, oh, this is where I'm meant to be all that time. Okay? And I believe that you're going to be a very strong in here man for God. And you are going to have such an influence on other people. They're going to just immediately want to be and want to have what you've got.
Yeah.
So Father, I bless Dan with that word, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, you've gotten on the right track now, and you're going to make up for where time has been lost, Lord.
Yeah.
And you're going to even make him further along that track than he already is, supernaturally, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. Hi, what's your name?
Joe.
Joe, God has said that it's decision time for you. It's a decision that you've got to make. It's a very important decision. And He knows that you'll make the right decision in the end. Okay? Okay, thank you, Lord. But I believe there's an important decision that you're going to have to make. And you're going to go, is that one? Do I do that one? But God's going to show you very clearly. He's going to put neon lights along the way, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, that's simple. Okay? But when decision time comes, don't forget, He's going to highlight the one that you really need to make. There's a long pause, which means I'm asking God where I need to go, who I need to be giving a word for. So hurry up, God. It's a bit embarrassing standing with nothing in your head, isn't it? But I do have something. I do have something, because God's giving it to me. Okay. Hey, what's your name? Are you an intercessor? Okay, that's right. Yeah, Father, for Amanda, Lord, I pray that you would give her greater revelation. Greater revelation of the heavenlies. Greater revelation of who you are in heaven, Lord. And Father, I just bless her with that gift that you've given to her, Lord. And Father, as she finds herself in intercession, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would reveal to her more and more of your heart, Father. And there's angels on you. There's angels around you. Wherever you go, there's angels around you. And I see them like colored angels, like the colors of jewels. Around you, and wherever the light catches those angels, it's going to shoot off an awesome arc of light, and people are attracted to that. So Lord, I bless her with that, Father, and ask, Lord, that she would have a greater revelation in the times of intercession about what you'll do with her.
Yes.
And for others.
Yeah. Yeah, bless you, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I see there's been some. Well, hold your hand. Thank you. unconditional love. God has unconditional love for you. Do you know what that means? No strings. And I believe you've had experiences in your life where there have been strings attached, and it's conditioned your thinking. And God is giving you a new mind and a new heart in order to experience that unconditional love. When there's been times when you thought you had to do something in order to get love, those times are gone because God loves you unconditionally, and your thinking is going to change. So Lord, I just ask Father for that precious gift of unconditional love for her, that she would understand in her heart what unconditional love really is.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. What's your name? Anson. 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 Did you know? God has made you very beautiful, Anson. There's a beauty within you that you can't see, that others are attracted to, and others will change their ways because of you, Anson. And there's a heart in there that is liquid gold. And God has given you that heart because he knows he can trust you with it.
Yes.
And that heart is part of his heart. Okay? And he's increasing within you that ability to love, that ability to be able to have compassion and empathy for others. Where it's not been there before, it's coming. And it's coming in great waves. And you'll go, oh my life, what is that? It's actually God's love.
Yeah.
All right? So I bless Anson with that word, Father. And Lord, I ask for that capacity within him to grow and expand in Jesus' name, that he would have that heart to love. With pure love.
Yeah, bless you. Thank
with
you.
Empathy, with sympathy, with your heart, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're all going to have a prophetic word this afternoon. So just be ready for every one of you will have one. It's breakthrough time.
Amen.
Be aware that God is a God of the breakthrough.
Yeah.
And we really are experiencing acceleration, as we've mentioned already, but breakthrough.
Mm.
So I release that over you today, that breakthrough. There's a great awakening happening in the earth today for spiritual things. We only have to look at what's happening in the film world, happening in our schools, happening on the TV, that we can see that there's a great awakening for spiritual things in our lives. And we as Christians have to rise up and take the ground that the enemy has already taken.
Yeah.
And when we can, governments are quite happy for Harry Potter and things like that to be in our schools, then it's where is the voice of the Christians? Where is the voice of the Christians saying no? This is not acceptable. But you see, what the world is noticing, we have to be aware of, that there is a spiritual awakening on the earth today in everybody who are looking for a spiritual satisfaction. And they're looking in the wrong places. Because only with God can that part of us be fulfilled. We're made up in three parts. It's our body, our physical body, that relates in a way to the Godhead of Jesus, to our spirits, which relate to the Holy Spirit, and our emotions, our mind, will, and emotions in a way relate to the Father. So the Lord is awakening us by His Holy Spirit to things of the Spirit of Him, of the Kingdom of God. Within us, where we have our spirit, until that is filled with the Holy Spirit and the nature of God, we are always looking for something. And we're looking for things in the wrong places. We're looking for short satisfaction, fulfillment. There's a just huge desire on the earth today for instant gratification, for fulfillment. We must have it now. We must borrow money because we must have it now. When in fact that's not God's laws at all. God is patient, God is kind, God is love. He wants us to have wisdom so that our lives are led full of wisdom. So we don't get ourselves in debt for instant gratification. We don't borrow money. There's nothing in Scripture about borrowing money. It talks about being a lender, but nothing about borrowing. Now I can justify in a way having mortgages, because in a way that's an investment, particularly if it's you know, property's going up. You know, I can't speak for when property's going down, but fortunately in most parts of where we live, property generally tends to rise. So we can look at borrowing money for our houses as an investment rather than borrowing. But you know, we're all slaves to our mortgage lenders. People have to work. Women have to work to pay for mortgages. And that, in a way, is the enemy's ploy to stop women looking after children as they should be looked after. All of us need to have self-worth, significance, an inner filling by our parents of who we are, because that's where our strength is for the rest of our lives. So where the enemy is taking women out to work, and the children are not feeling all of those values put into them at an early age, we're seeing that throughout their lives they can be tossed backwards and forwards and not have any firm foundation, because they don't know from life experience the value of love and the value of knowing who we are.
And God, by His Holy Spirit, is demonstrating that and revealing that to us now in this age, by His love, by His compassion, by His understanding, because He knew us before the foundation of the world. This is what Scripture says, that He knew us even before the creation of the world came into being. So He knew that you'd be here this morning. He knew that Claire would give you prophetic words. He knew that you were all going to have one this afternoon. He knew that you were going to grow in the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's why God is pouring out His glory, because as the glory and the knowledge of His glory covers the earth, then everyone is going to know the Jesus, and then Jesus is going to come back. And it's very short. Time is very short. God is taking us into spiritual experiences so that we have an experience with our Father, an experience with Jesus, experience with the Holy Spirit. All of our relationships are built on that. Life is all about relationships. I reached this very young age, only realizing fairly recently that whole of life is about relationships. How we forge relationships. How are we in relationships? Do we build one another up in relationships? Or do we knock each other down? Do we forge relationships so we have an enormous amount of relationships around us in our family? That's where relationships should have been made, just as God ordained families to be. But the enemy has come in and destroyed family relationships, so our families are extended. Our relationships are with our friends, and that's how God intended it. The Holy Spirit is our friend. Jesus is our friend. And so within the kingdom of God, there is a family. So once we become children of God, once we're born again, filled with God's Holy Spirit, we are part of that family. And yes, we look to one another to be also part of that family. But if there's nobody else, we are still part of the family of God. We can never be rejected. God never rejects us, and rejection on the whole is only somebody else's opinion. God always loves us, never rejects us, is always there for us. So don't ever come under a feeling of rejection, because go straight to the Father and bring your burdens to Him and say, Lord, I just feel terrible about this. Let His love come in and heal you. And let Him give you His perspective on whatever's going on. And all we have to do is love. When we find circumstances are difficult, when we find resentment coming up, as mentioned already, disappointments, love more. That is always the answer to every situation. You ask God to enable you to love more, and you'll find within your heart you've changed. Your whole attitude changes. Praise God in every situation. However bad it is, praise God in every situation, because He will turn that situation for good as you are praising Him. Don't get overwhelmed with circumstances. Praise God, and your whole demeanor, your whole being opens up and you change inside. And I know this from practice. We were in a hotel, we were doing some meetings in Leighton in London, and they put us in a motel which was felt like it was on a lorry road highway. So the lorries were just zooming past, and of course it's quite narrow there, and it's like, oh my goodness. It was very, very hot. London, when it's hot, can be hot. No air conditioning. If you opened the windows, you couldn't hear yourself think. And both Claire and I had tummy bugs, so we were just, if we'd left the day, we usually quite like to go up a day early when we're going away ministering, and we did this time. But if we'd left it to the day before we should have gone up, we wouldn't have gone, because we were both so ill. And of course, in heat and tummy bugs, it just really doesn't go together. And neither of us could go out really to get food, and we couldn't get enough water, so we were in a bit of a situation. And I just suddenly remembered that. Praise God in all situations. So I just praise God for the fact the bed was clean, because I've been in nations where the bed isn't clean. I've travelled quite a lot. And I've been in places where the shower doesn't work. So I was praising God. I was pressing through that the shower works, Lord. And there's carpet on the floor, and there's no bugs, and there's no creepy crawlies, and there's no like lizards just looking down at me from the ceiling, likely to pop on me at any moment. And when I can feel well enough to go and get a sandwich, at least I can eat the sandwich, because I'll be able to, because it won't be full of other stuff. And immediately my whole being changed. And immediately Claire, she was in another room, we just expressed that together, and we started praising God, and straight away we completely felt different. That's just small incidences. But, you know, you've heard other people talk about major situations, you know, children problems, all kinds of things. But praise God in every situation, and you will find that everything changes around you. So supernatural experiences, we're not to worship the experience, but with any relationship, we have to have an experience. We have to grow in the knowledge of one another. We can read the Bible and get to know God through His Word. But unless we have a relationship with Him, talk to Him, listen to Him, we cannot build what God wants us to build within our innermost being. He wants the kingdom of heaven to be in us. And that is built, a love relationship is built out of experience. A husband and wife getting married, if there's no experience of love between one another, then the marriage is empty. You know each other, but it's not the fullness that God has for each one of us. So we worship God in all of our experiences. And it must all be based on the authority of God's word and His covenant promises. So the more that we read God's word, the more that we can understand. who he is, understand why, you know, all the way through Scripture, there were experiences. Without experiences in the Bible, there's hardly anything left if you think about it. But it's all about him, obviously. And it always draws us to the heart of God. Always draws us closer to him. And it bonds our relationship with him. It feeds our hunger and quenches our thirst. Just love him more. And then we'll love others more. It increases our spiritual sensitivity when we experience God. And it allows our souls to come under the dominion of our spirits. That's God's rule. So we always have choices every day. And it's usually soul choices. You know, I'll have breakfast now and then I'll go shopping. But when your whole being is under the authority and the rule of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that we do is ask God every day, what is it you want me to do today, Lord? Where do you want me to go, Lord? So that our whole being is led by the Holy Spirit. And then our soul and our bodies come in line with the Spirit rather than our souls or our bodily desires. So that's what God wants to increase in us. And that's why we fast. Is because we fast, because the highest desire of us is to eat. So when we fast, you know, that diminishes to the bottom and the spirit rises to the top. But we're not under law for fasting and legalism for fasting. We're led by God's Holy Spirit as to when to fast and when not to fast. And, you know, some things are only broken by prayer and fasting. But it's not a law. We're not under law. And that's what is so amazing about the glory that is in the New Testament. I'm just going to read some scripture for the day. It's from 2 Corinthians 3. It's the glory of the new covenant. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? So we talked last night about the glory cloud and the glory coming in the tent with Moses. And we sang this morning about the glory coming in the temple of Solomon. But here God's saying that the glory of the New Testament is even greater. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. So we're living in the days of surpassing glory. That was glory, and now we're in surpassing glory, more than we could ever dream or imagine.
Yes, Lord.
And if that was fading away, came with glory, how much greater is the glory that was with last? So we're now in a place of glory that will last. It won't fade away. We'll be radiant. The more that we're in God's glory, the more that you'll see us change. We'll glow with the fire of the glory. Our faces will radiate the power and the passion of love of God's glory as we go about our everyday lives. So therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away and their minds were made dull. And it says, to this day the veil remains when the old covenant is read. It's not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. So there's no veil. So we just have pure glory shining and receiving into each one of us. Even to this day, a veil covers their hearts. But when everyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we're in this place of ever-increasing glory. We're in this place of surpassing glory. We're in this place of glory that never fades. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
The promises of God. So this enables us to be overcomers. Every time that we are in the glory, and we can be in the glory every moment of every day, but it enables us to be overcomers. And you know, in Revelation, it talks all about the promises of being overcomers. We can sit with him in paradise. We're pillars, etc., etc. And it enables us to pray from the third heaven perspective. Now, it's only mentioned in once in Scripture, third heaven, and that's when Paul said, I don't know if I was in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, but I went to third heaven. But the third heaven is the place and the throne room of God. It's where God lives. It's in the third heaven perspective. The second heaven is where the demons and the angels hang out, but the angels also are in heaven, in the third heaven. And the first heaven is what we see, the heavens and the planets, and as we know in the natural of heaven. So when we are filled with glory, when we know that our spirits are connecting with the Spirit of glory, which is the Holy Spirit, then our prayers will take on a different perspective, because we will be praying from God's perspective. Instead of saying, Lord, you know that I'm hungry, you know about this, you know about that, you'll be praying with God's prayers. And God's prayers will be filled with love, filled with dominion, because you're above the principalities and powers when you're praying from third heaven. And they'll be like arrows that the angels have gathered up and are dropping down. Talks about the bowls being filled with our prayers, and then they just drop down and they just zoom into the areas that need your prayers, because you're up there, because you're living out of your spirit in that third heaven dimension. Whatever experience you have, there'll be a message in it. The message, it will be for you, but it also could be for somebody else. There's always an outworking when heaven hits earth. Maybe now, it may be later. It says in Habakkuk, wait for the revelation to come. Let's just read that, because they're engaged to see what God is saying, to see what he's doing. Because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying to him. So he moved in that dimension all the time. And you see in Scripture that quite often Jesus went away to a level place to pray, to be with his Father. Every time he came out from that place, the first time he chose the disciples. So decisions were made having come out of a secret place with the Father. It's so important that we have a secret place, and that can be somewhere in the natural, where we, you know, on the settee or in the bathroom or in lying in your bed, kneeling at the side of your bed. The secret place in the natural, but there's a secret place within your being where you can be with the Father all the time. When you come out of that place, God will have given you strategies, given you instructions, given you prayers, given you your direction for the day. I always find it's beneficial to spend time with the Lord first thing in the morning, and he wakes me most of the night with prayers and strategies, and I write it all down. And some people prefer to be with the Lord at the night. But for me, it's better to be with the Lord in the morning, and then the whole day is directed as he would want us to, as he wants me to live that day. And it could be just going to the supermarket and, you know, me saying, Lord, okay, who is it I'm going to meet today? Where are they going to be? What are the words that you want me to say? And that's hearing the voice of the Lord. And I know we gave the CDs away last night, but we have some more at home if anybody wants a small CD, hearing the voice of God. So we're looking to see what he will say to us, and then what answer he will give to our questions, and in that place. We're always open to be teachable. None of us are outside of being teachable. Jesus was teachable. We all need to be teachable and open to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, because then we can always change. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So write down your dreams and your visions and your revelations. Write them down. Write what the promises of God are. write them in a journal and then pray over them and keep looking back over them and see where you've come from, where you were, and what promises God's fulfilled in you. And sometimes the revelation will await a time. So you'll have a revelation suddenly that you feel that God's calling you to Iris Ministries in Mozambique. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Iris Ministries. It's Heidi Baker and her husband. She's a real American girl, and God called her to Mozambique and her husband, and they have now over 6,000 church plants, have hundreds of orphans that they take care of. We actually support the ministry as part of two orphanages that are solely supported by Extreme Prophetic, for which we are part of here in the UK. Patricia King, she's the overseer of CSA and Extreme Prophetic, Extreme Prophetic Media, Extreme Prophetic Web Church, and we're the UK branch of that. Patricia's actually coming over in June for our big conference at the Riviera Centre in Torquay, so I just invite you all to come. There's a registration fee, but any of you from House of Heroes can all come for nothing. So, because she's a woman of inspiration, and so that the rest of you don't feel excluded, all of you can come from nothing that are in this room today. Because I'm very aware that when you have a majority of people that are the House of Heroes or connected with the House of Heroes, then there's a few of you here, a lot of you here, that aren't. So therefore, you know, it's not fair to have one benefit for one and one benefit for another. So it's at the Riviera Conference Centre, a big venue. Other people hopefully will be coming with Patricia, but she will change your life. She's an amazing woman of God that's experienced most that's out there to experience and how God grabbed hold of her. There's some little CDs over there, New Creation, and it's her testimony. And she's just such an amazing exhorter, prophetic person. You know, the whole kingdom mandate, she walks in authority. She's moved now into film work and is putting films together because she wants to have Christian films out there instead of all these other things that aren't Christian and have no relation to how God is. And she tried to sort of break into Hollywood, but realized that actually that's too hard. So they're now setting up their own film studios and doing their own filming. And you can really see a push if you look at different Christian networks. Go into XP Media and have a look. But there's an amazing push of spiritual films and broadcasts and things out there now that we can just get hold of for free if you just go into that website. But God, it wants to take back the film world because that's having such an influence, and the TV world having such an influence on our youngsters. When I was in Dudley with Revival Fires for 5 years, we just met some youngsters in the park. Their whole values were with what was on television. You know, they didn't know any different to watching, you know, the soaps. So that was their moral standard for everyday life, together with football. You know, that's because they had no teaching at home and rebellious at school. So it's third or fourth generation unemployed because they were part of the big industrial revolution there. And then, of course, when it all changed, you know, there was nowhere for them to get work. Their, you know, grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers. So they just got into a culture of being unemployed. Well, you know, that's not God's heart. We all need to work. Paul, the apostle Paul, worked at tent making. He didn't look to be given other help. He knew the importance that whatever God gives us to do will prosper. It's important that we have something to do with our hands. And so in Dudley, these youngsters, you know, that was their main thing, was what the TV influence. So it's very important that we get into that area over the next few years, which is what Patricia's trying to do. And, you know, God just gives her things. She says yes to them, and then he makes a way. And that's what he will do with us. He gives us strategies, he gives us things, and all we have to do is yes, say yes, and then he'll show you the small steps. And if we saw the big picture, then actually we would probably say no, because it would be too overwhelming. But because we only see the yes and we know God will make it come to pass. Whenever you say yes to something, the Holy Spirit will come upon it and make a way for it and show you the way and plummet you there and give you the strength, give you the strategies and enable you to do all that he asks of you. All we have to do is to be obedient and say yes. And it's a season for saying yes. So the experience will enhance your character depending on the condition of your heart. So again, it's having our heart attitudes completely given over to the Lord. So when the experience comes, because what is our response? It's going to depend on what our hearts are saying. So we're in this prophetic season, really, of change, of awakening, of transition. And you'll remember that whenever Jesus transitioned from one thing to another, the angels were there. Angels were there before he was born with Mary. The angels were there to tell the shepherds where Jesus was. Angels came to Joseph. The angels were there with Jesus when he came out of the wilderness. They ministered to him. Angels were there with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels, very important part of Scripture. And in a lot of fellowships where you start to talk about angels, they immediately think, oh my goodness, okay, I followed you up to this point. But when you start talking about angels, I'm not too sure about that. And that's because it's been hidden. Scriptures about angels have been hidden to us. But there's more than 250 references to angels in the New Testament. So we all have angels, and most people think we probably have two. There's two angels in the tomb when Jesus was not there. And when Peter was in prison, and the church was praying, the angel went in and gathered him out, showed him how to get out. The angel ministered to Peter then, and he went and knocked on the door where all the disciples were praying. And Rona went to the door and didn't let him in and went back. And they said, well, it must have been his angel. So you can assume that one of your angels looks like you, because they were familiar with angels then. They were in the upper room and they thought that it was Peter's angel because he couldn't possibly be out. So therefore they were used to the angels looking like people. Now, I want you to be like the Bereans who search the scriptures to see if these things are so, rather than thinking she's talking a load of I don't know what, because I don't want anything I say to be a stumbling block. I only want it to be a stepping stone so that you go and search the scriptures to see if these things are so. But only believe. It's by faith that we believe. It's by faith that we experience the glory realms. It's by faith that we do everything. And it's sometimes a testing of our faith. Okay. And it's a trusting, complete trust that we talked about last night. Everything we do has to be based on the finished work of the cross. This is where God made a covenant with man and a covenant with himself. Jesus died so that we would have eternal life. It also was a love test, so that none of us could say that we're not loved, because Jesus went through all that horrific stuff to prove his love for us. He could have said, no, I can't go through this. I can't do this. It's too much. The weight of our sin upon him was horrendous as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we cannot say we're not loved, because the testing place of love has already been passed by Jesus. And for what he went through to prove his love to us is just a small example of how much he loves us. So everything is based on the finished work of the cross. All of our experiences. And we have to know who we are. And it's very important that we get built up in who we are in Christ. And we can read that in Scripture. But if we believe a lie that we're this or that, we're this or that, we're nothing, we'll never make anything, we'll never get anywhere. If you believe those, that's a lie. Because God says that you're a new creation and everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. Let's stand, shall we? It's better for impartation than information. And we'll just let the Holy Spirit come and we'll take a little break. I love breaks because it enables the first bit to sort of sink in that God does, and we're all from different places, and so Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come. I just want to honour you guys for getting up early this morning and coming. It's a real sacrifice. But to me, it's the cost. And it's just like Mary pouring the oil over Jesus. It was a cost. So the cost is you pouring over Jesus this morning. All of you. Some of you are looking more brighter than others. But it's the same for all of us. It's the same that you've come. And God knows your heart, and God knows you're here. Holy Spirit, come. Father, bring that refreshing. We just bind that spirit of slumber now in Jesus' name. And Father, ask that you alert us to the words that you have of eternal life. Father, you promised that whenever I spoke, the Holy Spirit would speak. People would say, you said this. And I knew I never did because the Holy Spirit said it. So, Father, I ask that you just release your words now. Words of eternal life into each one of us. Pour out your love, Father. Pure liquid love that permeates every part. Every fibre of our being. It's a touch of love. Just a touch of love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every word has substance. Every word we speak has substance. Let the Holy Spirit speak with substance. Thank you, Father. It says to be filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is keeping on being filled. Okay, Lord. Thank you, Father. You stay in this place, but I think there may be a coffee break.